Today's daf in Masechet Menachot brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, no less. Boy, how long in history would those words have been heard across the world, huh? Unbelievable. So, the thing we had in the Mishnah, Lo Yikrivu Keves Baboker, so the Tanakhama said, Lo Yikrivu Keves Baboker, you can still bring the Keves Acharei HaTzoraim. And the same thing was true about the Keteres. Then we had Rabbi Shimon Shita, that if you were going to bring the Keteres Ben Arbaim, then the whole thing is brought Ben Arbaim. If you didn't bring Baboker, and you don't bring Pras Baboker and Pras Acharei HaTzoraim in this situation. And then he says the strangest thing, which has nothing to do with anything. She'en chanchin et mizbeach ha-zahav ele b'keteres ha-samim. What? The first time that the Mizbeach HaZahav is used, which is its chinuch, is only in the afternoon. You can't bring it with the mana that is in the morning. Now, this has nothing to do with what we've been discussing, because we never talk about a day of the first day that they were breaking the Mizbeach. Little did they know we'd be reading this on that Erev, on Tainus Esther, right before this was necessary to know, but it works out in the millennia. But anyway, at the time, this didn't make any sense, right? Because chinuch, who's talking about chinuch? Mandach Hashmei, did somebody say anything about chinuch? Hello? So why are we suddenly bringing in the chinuch of the Mizbeach? So obviously something's missing in the Mishnah. So chisurim echas revochi katani. It means clearly that you have to understand that there was a piece missing in the beginning. And that was before we got to the machlokas, where when we talked about the lohi krivu keves baboker, there actually is a time, where even according to the Tanakhama, lohyakrivu ben harbayim. And these pieces are missing. Now, we only had the piece that said after the, in the Zman, where there was no problem of chinuch, then of course you should bring Acharei HaTzoraim. But in our new Girsa, according to the Tanakhama as well, there is a time where you do not bring the keves ben harbaim if you miss the morning. When is that? That's only where you hadn't yet brought the first time the use of the Eilas, the regular Eilas Tamid. So over there, you can't start in the afternoon. If this was just a regular day in which you missed the first part of the morning and you didn't bring your Tamid for whatever reason, so then, if it was Nitchanech already, then, yes, continues our mission according to the Tanakhama, Yakrivu ben Arbaim. And about that, Rabbi Shimon said, this is only true, Bizman Shayu Anusim Shogedim. This is where we didn't give a knas to the Kohanim that didn't bring because they couldn't bring. But if they were mezidim v'lo ikrivu, then, aval yimayu mezidim lo ikrivu keves baboker, then we don't let them bring the keves ben harbayim. However, when it comes to the ktoret, then lo yiktiru ktoret baboker, then yaktiru ben harbayim. And that would be true whether or not there had been a chinuch. Because anyway, the Zman of the Chinuch would have been in the afternoon. So now everything fits in. Let's just review clearly what the Mishnah was saying. According to the Tanakhama, the din is that unless this was the first time the Mizbeach was going to be used, it would be no problem in bringing the Keves Ben Harbayim. But indeed, if it were the first time, then the Chinuch would have had to take it place by the Ha'ola, the Ola of the Boker. That's not strictly true. That first part is true, but the second part isn't true, because if this was done on purpose, and they could have brought the keves in the morning, and they didn't, then there's another reason why we don't allow to bring the keves ben harbayim. Masha Inkin, when it comes to the Ketoret, is exact opposite. The Ketoret is actually meant, if it's the first time you're bringing them to Mizbeach HaZahav, so then Daf gets the Ketoret ben harbayim. That's the one that you would bring. And therefore, in the event that you hadn't brought it, the only thing I want to add is, make sure you bring the entire mana and not just a pras in that afternoon. And that's the way to both to be mechanech lemizbeach and also to make sure that if you miss the ktaras in the morning after the zman of the chinuch hamizbeach, that the entire thing would brought acharei HaTzoraim. Furthermore, Even according to me, says Rabbi Shimon, there's no problem. If you were bad boys and you didn't bring the Ketores in the morning, you would still bring the Ketores in the afternoon. So that means we have an unaccounted for distinction between the bringing of a Keves Achrei HaTzoraim in the event, the Bein Arbaim, officially called. So the Keves, which is the Tomich of Bein Arbaim, we don't let you do if you miss the morning. But when it comes to the Ketoret, we do let you do. Okay, so we've got a lot of things up in the air over here. We're making a lot of assumptions. We're assuming that the only zman to be mechanech lemizbeach haketores is in the Bein Arbaim. The only zman to be mechanech, the mizbeach hachitzon, is dafka in the morning. And we've also gotten into some reason in which, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're not going to let you go ahead and bring the carbon if you miss the morning, whereas the Rabbanan disagree with that, apparently. But even Rabbi Shimon is made that when it comes to the Keteres, there we don't have that knas in place, not allowing you. Okay, so there's a lot of things we got to figure out. So, So how do we know, Bichlal, that the time of the Chinuch is dafka, if it's the Mizbeach HaChitzon, is dafka in the morning? Well, the Tanur Rabbanan, look at the pasuk, that Akeves Hasheni Ta'aseh Ben Ha'arbayim. So now, this was, of course, all of this is from this week's parsha. We just read all of this on Shabbos. All of this is fresh, ready for us on this Tainus Esther in preparation. So the Keves Hasheni Ta'aseh Ben Arbaim, which is a reference, of course, to the first time used. This is the Miluim, remember, in which in Tetzaveh we're told what it is that we're supposed to do when we build first time this Mizbeach. So it says the second Keves bring Ben Arbaim. I mean, obviously, why are we saying the second? Of course, it's the second. We said to bring the first before. It's sort of evident it's the second. But the point is to tell me that only the second can be brought Ben Arbaim. Hasheni Ben Arbaim velo Arishon Ben Arbaim. That means you can never bring the first Keves in the morning. Now, the parshas of this was, if I didn't explain it further, that this would mean that any time that the Kohanim missed out on bringing that first carbon, they wouldn't be allowed to bring the second carbon. However, let's make it clear. The truth is that the pasuk was a pasuk that was a reference to the Miluim, and this is only true in the case of the first time use of the Mizbeach. So, b'med varim amurim shelo nitchanech ha-mizbeach. But once the Mizbeach was bechunach, nitchanech ha-mizbeach, afilu rishon ben arbayim. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, hold on, that's true, midiraisa. However, this is only where the Kohanim were unable, either because they had a gun at their heads, or they had no way of being, they didn't have it, whatever. So, but if they did it on purpose, ima yumezidim v'lo ikrivu keves baboker, then we're not going to allow them to be makriv ben arbayim. If you don't care, then we don't let you care when you decide to care. A wonderful policy in general. So now the question is, but I mean, why is there a difference between this and the case of the Ketores, where even Rabbi Shimon is made that we do not have any kind of knas in place? So why is that? Lo yaktiru ketoret baboker, then yaktiru bein harbayim. Why is that? Why is it that we don't care about the fact that people didn't bring the Ketores at the right time? How about that? So first of all, I mean, forget about how about that. Well, I mean, isn't it a little bit crazy to hurt the poor Mizbeach just because these Kohanim are no good nicks? So we're going to say, because the Kohanim didn't bring it in the morning, therefore the Mizbeach should sit around and wait another day. I mean, what's the logic in that? V'chi Kohanim chatu'u Mizbeach batel? Oh, my Rav, no, of course not. Rabbi Shimon wasn't saying the Mizbeach should be batel. This was a knas on those Kohanim who were Yoshev Batel. It means if those guys weren't makriv in the morning, they can't just saunter up and say, well, we're ready to do it. No, you're not. We're not going to let you do it. And lo yakrivu hein, of course, other Kohanim, acherim can be makriv. So it's a knas, but the Mizbeach is not going to be affected. Masha inke, when it comes to the Ketoret, then we don't have such a knas. Lo yaktiru Ketoret baboker, then yaktiru bein harbayim. So why is that? Why is that any different? Well, because part of the knas is also to actually establish a precedent. You're not going to get away without bringing that Torresen. I mean, without bringing that carbon tumid baboker. But we don't need to establish that, you see, when it comes to the Ktoret, because only a nut would miss on bringing the Ktoret. After all, put a Jew around money, and they're ready to run. So since the Ktoret, if you're Zohar to bring the Ktoret, you're going to get rich, because the Ktoret is Ma'asher. So therefore, it's also not something you can expect to get every day of the week, you know? You're very lucky among all of the Kohanim to be the guy selected to bring the Ktoret this morning. So you think that that's normal, that this guy missed it? So because of that, we don't have to worry about anybody missing it in the future and the need to establish it's important. If you have one Meshuggah, you know, obviously he's a little bit mentally deficient. Because Kiman de lo Shchicha, this is something that's rare. And it's also Ma'asher, Ma'atra. Therefore, the Kohanim love the opportunity to bring the Ktoret. It's Chaviv Elohu, and this is not something that they're going to be poshea in and not do, and therefore, we don't need to make a takana to make that less likely to happen. It's already almost impossible. Then Rabbi Shimon says, Kula haita kreva ben harbaim, she'em mechanchin et ezbeach hazahav, ela biktoret asamim shel ben harbaim. So since, anyway, the first time that you bring the Ktoret, it's scheduled to be brought, the entire Ktoret is scheduled to be brought ben harbaim. So if the Mizbeach is already in use, so then you split the Ktoret between the morning and the afternoon, but you don't start off in the morning, and therefore the entire Ktoret is brought, the entire Mona is brought in the first afternoon. Now, where do we get that from? I mean, it actually seems to be a contradiction to another braita that says exactly the opposite. So we're going to have to see where each one of these braitot, where does it get that from? Vatanya. There's another braita that says, you can only be mechanech the mizbeach hazahav with the ktoret shel boker. Well, yes. The truth is, it is machlokes tanoim. We have this braita, whoever the Tana is, and we have our Mishnah. According to our Mishnah, it seems that everybody's agreed that the Mizbech HaKtoras is only Mechunach in the Ben Arbaim, and the Braita says the exact opposite. And what's the logic? So it says, Abaya, look, I mean, the question of what's the Mokar is going to require judgment. And I think it's Mistav. It's much more reasonable to read the Pasuk as I'm about to show you, which would be the Mokar of our Mishnah, K'madiyomar K'teres HaSamim Shal Ben HaArbayim, that would be the Chinuch. Why? Because the Chtiv, B'nogea the Mizbeach HaZahav, again, from the Parsha we just read, Baboker, Baboker, Behetivo et HaNeirot Yaktirena. So it says over here, you're supposed to bring the K'teres when you bring the Hatovas Haneros. Now, when do you do Hatovas Haneros? Hatovas Haneros means cleaning up. Well, you've got nothing to clean up if you didn't light the menorah the night before. So if we're referring to Hatovat Hanerot, so then we are saying that we're comparing the way in which we deal with the Ktoret to the way in which we deal with the menorah. And ilav de avad hadlaka mi urta, hatava betzafra meecha. Where in the world would there be a hatava if we never even lit the menorah the night before? And therefore, it's clear that the same way that we were going to do the avoda of the menorah would have to be ba'erev, so too, since we're linking the k'teres to the menorah, and of course that's the most striking element of our parsha that we just read. It opens up with the mitzvah of the Neres, and this is the mamish, the big opening of the kahuna to take the shemen zayit zach and so on. And that was done, as we see here, in the nighttime. So memela, if it's linking at the end of the parsha, the other amazing chiddush of our parsha, which is that there's a mizbeach hazav and that you bring ketoret, it's linking it to that first hadlaka. And how does the other Tana read it? L'madiyom reviktora tasamim shel shachar? Well, he says, you're right. If we would actually look only at the linkage between the menorah and the Mizbeach HaZahav, we would conclude that it should be mechunach acharei hatzoraim. However, remember that the Mizbeach HaZav is introduced immediately after the parsha of the Korbonos, which we talk about, to put up the Mizbeach, meaning the Mizbeach HaChitzain, and to have the top of that Mizbeach be filled. It's going to be all dirt. The inside is going to be dirt. It'll be levuv luchot. And you bring in the morning this, and in the afternoon that, and then it says, make the Mizbeach HaZahav, and then Yakti Rena. So don't you think it makes more sense to compare one Mizbeach with the other? I mean, they follow one another. So if the pasuk immediately begins after the Akravas HaKvasim on Mizbeach HaChitzon with the story of the Mizbeach HaZahav and then the bringing the Ktores. So therefore, this Tana holds, it makes more sense to be Gomar, the Mizbeach HaZahav, from the Mizbeach HaOila. Just like Malahal and B'Tomit Shel Shachar, we've all agreed that the first thing to bring is definitely the Tomit Shel Shachar. It's Hasheni. It's only the second one that should be brought in the afternoon. So that goes directly into the Mizbeach HaZahav. So Avkan and the Mizbeach HaZahav, where we have a different object of Aveda, which is the Ktores, we should also begin with the Ktoret HaSamim Shel Shachar. Now, this entire discussion, this is the way almost all the Rishonim understand Pashtus of the comparison to the Hatovas HaNeros in the morning. This is one of the sugyas that is brought as supposedly a death blow to the Rambam's approach. And the Rambam's approach is, as you know, that the Hatovas HaNeros in the morning is a relighting of the menorah in the morning. According to the Rambam, the menorah is lit two times a day, once in the evening and once in the morning. And over here, it seems like very clear, if you didn't light it the night before, so then there wouldn't be anything to do in the morning. I mean, like, how's the Rambam going to get around that? So, well, obviously, the Rambam never read this Gemara, and this is a knockout blow. Okay, so, I mean, obviously, what the Rambam was saying all along is that the din of the Hatavat HaNerot is a din of rihadlaka. If there's no Hatavat HaNerot, there's no rihadlaka. The point is that the Rambam says the mitzvah is to light the menorah in the evening, and then 12 hours later, approximately, check it out, clean it out, and make sure that it continues to burn through the rest of the day. So you do the Hatava. The Hatava is not the act of the Hadlaka. The Hatava is exactly what it means. Be mative them. Get them ready for relighting, because you're going to be relighting them. Exactly. But if there was no Hadlaka the night before, then there's no meaning, even according to the Rambam, of a Hatava in the morning. That seems quite evident, is the Pashtus of the Rambam, and the Pashtus the way that the Rambam would understand this sugya. So it's really irrelevant to the Rambam's approach.
No, it's extending the evening's lighting. If there was no evening's lighting, there's nothing to extend.
Correct.
Okay.
The next thing that we had in the Mishnah, and this is not really a new topic, I mean, we talked about all of the chinuch. So, okay, I just explained to you where we get the idea of the chinuch of the Mizbeach HaZov and its machlokes. I just explained to you where we got the chinuch of the Mizbeach HaOila and its din. But the Mishnah mentioned already, once it was in the mood, so the only way to get the shulchan into its state of kedusha is to bring the lechem aponim on Shabbos. But I mean, that implies that if it wouldn't be that this is the first time you're using the shulchan, so then you wouldn't be limited to the Shabbos. You would be able to be Mekadosh the Lechem even in the middle of the week. I mean, remember, that's the whole way that the Mishnah was set up, right? It's very confusing. I mean, the Mishnah was set up by talking about the difference between the first time usage, if you're talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the first time usage, if you're talking about the Mizbeach HaZav, which is the Chinuch, and it starts talking about, okay, so when is the Chinuch? And it makes that distinction between specifically the time of the Chinuch, which you can't start in the morning, or you can't start in the evening, depending on what we're talking about, and the ongoing situation. We're over there, okay, if you missed the morning, you could still bring the evening, in the case of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and vice versa in terms of the Ketoret, right? So then when it said the same thing about the lechem, it seems, I would have thought anyway, that it means the same thing. It means that the first time you cannot do it unless it's Shabbos. But any other time, if you miss Shabbos, you manage to get your lechem aponim, let's say on Sunday or Monday, you would put the lechem aponim on the shulchan and that would be fine. They would be mekudash and then you'd be able to use them on Shabbos, right? But that's not true. Because are you trying to imply that the only problem with non-Shabbos, b'chol, your only problem is you can't do the chinuch, but you can put on the lechem if the shulchan had been long b'chunach, maybe like 500 years ago or something? So yichanuchi udalo mechanech. You tell them you can't be mechanech for shulchan, but you can be mekadesh the lechem? I mean, that is not true. We know that. We have that beferish. We're going to have it later on in the Mishnah, even over here. But, I mean, it's from so many places in which we talk about putting the lechem. If the lechem was put on after Shabbos, then you have to wait till past the next Shabbos when the lechem becomes Bekudesh, and then the second Shabbos from then, that's when you're able to use the lechem. So something's funny over here. That can't be what it means. No, you don't understand. The Mishnah is not following the same format of distinguishing between the simple act that you normally do and the specific act that's done for chinuch. That's not the point. The point over here is that the only thing that you can do on the shulchan is put the lechem down on Shabbos. Nothing else is going to make any difference, not to the lechem, not to the shulchan. And that's exactly the point. What the Mishnah is saying is that the chinuch is the equivalent of the kiddush. And therefore, that chinuch, which consists of being mekadesh the lechem, can only take place on Shabbos. And look, I mean, that is not a violation of all of the things we've been talking about. It's different than the Ktoras, yes. And it's also different than the Mizbeach HaChitzon, yes, in that chinuch there was separated. But, I mean, if you consider the last piece, which we were talking about, the chinuch of the menorah, okay, what does that mean? If it says over there, v'loyata menorah, ela b'shiva neirotea ben ha'arbaim. So what do you think that means? Again, this is like another death blow to the Rambam. So do you think that means that you could be, once the menorah is Kodesh, then you could light the candles in the morning? That's insane. Nobody lights the candles in the morning. That's the way everybody else learns. Of course, not the way the Rambam learns it. But if you hold like Menachemel, this is so exciting. So if you didn't do it, so then are you suggesting we could do it in the morning? No, who holds of lighting the menorah in the morning? And of course, the Rambam understands this the same way he understood the sugya up until now. What, you can do a first hadlaka, which is not a continuation of the hadlaka samanorah in the evening, of course it could only be a continuation of that hadlaka. And therefore, how could you possibly think that we would initiate hadlaka just because the menorah had been used before? Absolutely not. So the whole point of the menorah is that the hadlaka is done in the afternoon. Tana Rabbana. Zeu kiteres she'olsa liyachid amizbeach achitzon. So what are we talking about over here? We have a weird situation in which the Nesi'im brought ketoret. Now, whoever heard of yechidim, Kafachat, Asara, Zahav, Malaya, Ketoret. Whoever heard of such a thing that Yechidim bring Ketoret and they bring it as a gift and each one of them comes up with this gift and it's a brilliant gift? This is crazy. It's unheard of. Not to mention the fact, where did they put that Ketoret? They put it on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. It was Chanukat HaMizbeach. It had nothing to do with the Mizbeach HaZahav. It had everything to do with the Chanukat HaMizbeach of the Oila. So whoever heard of such a thing, first of all, bringing ketores on the outside Mizbeach? What the heck? And individuals? So this brayta clarifies, this particular ketoret that was brought by individuals, namely the Nesi'im, and it was brought in the craziest place. It was brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But make no mistake about it. This was a one-time event in history that was there only as a hora'at sha'ah, and it has no bearing on the future. You can't learn anything out of here. Never again will an individual bring a ketoret on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and mark my words, you can be free of fear. This will never happen again. Okay, but that implies that, wait a second here. What is this referring to? What if we're not in the Daf Yomi? How are we supposed to understand this? Zehu. Omer Papa, this is referring to the Nisian. Okay, thank you. So now, you're telling me this will never happen again. What is this will never happen again? That Yechidim should bring a Ketores on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Wow, okay. But, I mean, the only problem is the Yachid can't bring on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, but the Yachid could bring on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. I mean, is that true? Why are you saying this will never happen again, that a Yachid should bring on the Mizbeach HaChitzon? Oh, Mizbeach HaPnimi Makriv, what, a Yachid can actually donate a Ketores to the Mizbeach HaPnimi? Vesu. Also, the other implications are, and this will never happen again, that an individual should bring a ketoret on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But, of course, the tzibur could bring a ketoret on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Is that the implication? Because that's totally crazy, too. There's no time that a tzibur is maybe a ketoret on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Neither Yochid nor a tzibur. So what kind of weird implications is this? A tzibur makrivu? And we know neither of these things are true. Because Vatanya, look, here's how we actually learn out the dinim of the Ketores. So you might think this beautiful way of understanding the diukim in the parsha that we just read, that are Meir Einayim. So you might think that an individual would be able to bring this type of Ketores as a gift. And I would say, somebody who says, I make a neder to bring a multi-million dollar ketores to the Mizbeach HaZohav, then we would have to say, wow, motza sefatecha tishmor ve'asita kasher dibarta, you better do exactly what you said. What an amazing gift to the Beis HaMikdash, you might think. Oh, no way. Talmud lomar lo ta'alu alav ketoret zara. Don't bring anything else but what I just said. And anything else I'm defining as zarut, it's absolutely unacceptable. The main point of the parasha, after all, as Rashi says, to make sure there is no zarut, whether it's in terms of Aaron, or to make sure there's no zarut in terms of the karbonos. Wow. And that makes it quite clear. Okay, now you might think, all right, but that's only for a yachid. That would be alien indeed. What is that yachid? Never saw anything like it. It's like this weird monkey-like thing. What is that? So you might think that is an alien. But, I mean, the tzibur looks like that which always brings the ketoret. So yochlo ye yachid mevi, because there is no carbon ketoret as a chovah that would be brought by a yachid. But there is a carbon chovah that's brought by a tzibur every single day, so maybe the tzibur could simply increase the frequency. And so, you know, today we want to bring three times ketoret or something like that. I mean, maybe that would be all right. So you might think, aval tzibur, yehe maybe, since it's maybe chovah ki yotzeba, tamud lomar, lo ta'alu. Lo ta'alu is rabim, that's plural. None of you, don't you dare. So that means even as a group, no din of ketoret that is acceptable. Anything else is alien. And that makes it very clear. Ah, okay. So in other words, we mustn't bring a ketoret on the Mizbeach HaZahav. But, I mean, perhaps we could bring this wonderful gift on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and then there would be no problem of its being Zarut. So yochlo yalo Mizbeach HaPnimi, avo yalo Mizbeach HaChitzon. Tamud lomar, that's why we have that extra pasuk. Et shemen ha-mishcha ve-et ketoret ha-samim la-kodesh ke-kol asher tziviticha. That's tzav. That's titzave. That's absolutely according to your instructions. And don't give me your own stuff. That's alien. It is absolutely unacceptable to have anything but what has been defined here in Parshas Tetzaveh. Nothing else can be brought. So how could you have said, well, this will never happen again. You can be assured. A Yachid will never bring a Ketores on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. That's crazy. I mean, nobody will bring a Ketores on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and a Yachid's not going to bring a Ketores anywhere, even on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So the whole thing doesn't add up. Amrav Papa, well, obviously the point over here is that certainly none of the other stuff is going to happen, because we just showed you the whole pasuk is aimed at preventing you from thinking that a yochid could bring a ketores on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or that the tzibur could bring a gift of a ketores even on the Mizbeach HaZov. The Bright is taking that for granted. It's not implying that that would be okay, you see. What it's trying to say is you might think that the one case of a combinatory element of the Mizbeach HaChitzain and a Yachid, put the two together, it happened. It did happen once. It happened with the Nesiim. So you might think, okay, since that happened, it serves as a model for what might happen in the future. So there, Baruch Avram, do you think you get your hand through over there and give a shake to Menachem all? Just through that little... Oh, he doesn't even need it. See that? Okay. Just remember you're vulnerable. You're right up there by the edge of the screen. You never know what might come through. So, therefore, you might think the one thing that might happen would be a combination of the two things, because that happened once at the time of the Nesiim, but obviously nothing else is going to happen. That's what the Bright is saying. It takes for granted, obviously, that Sibor is never going to bring on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Did you ever see anything like that? And Lo Mibo Yochid HaMizbeach HaPnimi. Did you ever see anything like that? The Lashka, I never saw any such thing. But I did see a Yochid bringing on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Who? The Nesiim. So you might think that could happen again. No, never going to happen again. El Afilo Yochid HaMizbeach HaChitzon, which we actually do have a model, in a historical model for the Nesiim. Let's get this very clear. It was a Hora'at Sha'ah. It was actually an Isser Gomor, which, as we know, there are times where there's a Hora'at Sha'ah that is Matir doing something that is extraordinary and outside of the normative dinim and constraints. And that was one of those special times, but you'll never see that. Even that case, you'll never see again. And certainly, cases that we never saw, we're for sure never going to see again. And this brings us to our very special moment of our international reporter and general gadabout, our very own Sir Richard.
I am not the best of all possible voices this morning, so you...
Mr. Kissinger, I've never heard you speak that way. You are always ready to engage.
These are exceptional times, Rabbi. These are exceptional times.
That was pretty darn good for exceptional times. Keep it coming, Rich. Chavitei Kohen Gadol. Now let's talk about something that is an entirely new type of mincha that we mentioned, of course, many times before. Let's get into some of the halachas of the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, because like they're very different than the normal minachot. And the way that the Torah introduces it, remember, is Zeh Korban Aharon Uvanav, Asher Yakrivu LaHashem, Biyom Imashachoto. So remember that the Chavitim, very interesting, because the Chavitim are, what have we been talking about, guys? Just, it's so brilliant. I'm telling you, the multi-level construction of these Mishnayos is so wild. Well, what is the other name for a korban exactly like the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, which are not the Chavitei Kohen Gadol? Do you know? I'll give you a hint. It's also the name of a sefer.
Minchat Chinuch.
Oh my gosh. So we just left the Mishnah that tells us, Ein b'chanchin et ha-mizbeach or b'zbach ha-zov or the menorah. Well, guess what? There's a special kind of mincha that is known as the Minchat Chinuch. Now, as you'd also know, the special part that was given to Aaron HaKohen about the menorah, you will recall, is the special menorah that he was given as what seems to be just sort of like a sop, because he was so upset about missing what? The Nisian. Weren't we just talking about the Nisian? So he was so upset about missing out on the Korbanot of the Nisian. So, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? B'ha'alotachat ha'nerot. So that's going to be given to you. And how does that make sense? Since anyway, everybody's got things to do every day. So how is that going to help him feel better about missing out on the Chanukah that was done by the Nesiim? How do you explain that? So, as the Ramban explains, that menorah is a reference to the ultimate chinuch called Chanukah. How do you like that? So it was all about chinuch in the first place. Now, that gives you the insight into recognizing that the job of a Kohen Gadol is always the equivalent of chinuch, which is why we're getting to this here at the very end. The chavitim are the equivalent of every simple kohen hedyot's first day on the job. The first day any kohen comes to their job in his life, he brings the equivalent of the chavite kohen gadol. That's his chinuch. But regular people fall asleep in the middle of the daf. And because of that, they cannot be the ongoing powerhouses of chinuch. Chinuch requires this constant electricity, as if just at that moment you woke up for the first time and found yourself on this planet, which would be rather much of a shock, you must admit. And this is exactly what the Kohen Gadol is all about. So, the Kohen Gadol brings the equivalent of a minchas chinuch every single day. And just in case you think you could fall asleep after the morning, the Torah makes it clear he's got to bring that minchas chinuch throughout the day, not just one time. So it's a weird carbon. So here, moving on from the Nesiim and from the Chanukahs, let's talk about the mincha, which for normal children, Zekoban Aaron Uvanav, Asher Yakrivu LaHashem B'yom Himashachoto. That's on the day that the banav bring it, asirita efa solet minchat tamid. For Aaron, it's brought machzita baboker umachzita ba'erev. Now, how do you make this? Ooh, this is not just a regular type of mincha. This is a very confusing mincha. So first of all, it has to be al-machavat b'shem teaseh, which you might think would mean it's just a regular minchat machavat, but you would be very mistaken, because the pasuk goes on to say, murbechet tivienna, make it bagels. Murbechet means scalded with hot water. So that's, I don't understand. If I fried it, how do I bagel it? And then it says, and don't think you can just get away with bageling a frying pan. What you also have to do is to fini minchat pitim. You're going to have to also bake it up. Oh my gosh. Fried, scalded, baked. I mean, this is like the ultimate soul food, right? So what in the world? You have to do all of these different things. So this is a very different kind of mincha. And then you bring it pitim. After you break it up into little pieces, takriv reach lichoach l'Hashem, and this is a kohen hamashiach tachtav mibanav yaseoto chok olam kolil tokta. So, this is a complicated kind of thing. So it says you're supposed to use an asirita efa, and then you do all of these different things. So, we've got the mibanav, and that's the first time, and we've got the kohen hamashiach, that's the one that is going to be bringing it every single day. And it's brought half in the morning and half in the afternoon. So what does that mean? Does that mean you actually make it by halves? Or is it a full carbon that is brought half in the morning or half in the afternoon? Well, that makes a big difference. Actually, the Chavite Kohen Gadol were not allowed to be brought by halves, even though it says Machtzita Baboker, Machtzita Ba'erev. Note that it says Machtzita. What is that mapike? Who is the mapike? The mincha. That means that the mincha exists as itself, and then you split it. Take half of her. Okay, so you have to start off with the whole mincha, and then you could bring half of it, but you can't just show up with a half a mincha and make a half a mincha. There's no such thing as a half a mincha. And therefore, you bring an isaron shalem, And then you split it, and you bring half of it in the morning, and you bring half of it of the afternoon. Yes, that's true. But it first has to be the full mincha. And actually, according to the Rambam, not only that, we actually bake it like that. So that means, we'll see, there's a machlok, because we'll get into the details of this much later on in the Masechet, but the Rambam learns that you first baked all of the lechem, which were actually sheish from each chatzi yisaron, which most take to mean, okay, so you'll take a chatzi yisaron, you'll bake it in the morning into six, and you'll take a chatzi yisaron, and you'll bake it in the other chatzi yisaron, you'll bake that into six in the afternoon. No, says the Rambam. You bake all 12 and you break them into half, just like you do with the whole mincha. So therefore, you have your entire mincha, and then you break the challahs into half, and you bring the 12 halves in the morning and 12 halves in the afternoon, not six holes and six holes, which all the other Rishonim hold. So what about in a case where a Kohen brought his first half in the morning, and then he died in the middle of the day before he had a chance to bring the others? This was in the old days when people used to die before Trias HaMesim and all of this. This is one of those old Mishnayos in which Mishnah lo zozo b'mekoma. It's hard for us to imagine, of course, today, but people used to just disappear in the middle of the day, and it was as if they were never there before. How people could have lived like that is beyond me. But somehow or other, they managed, and so they would have had to appoint another Kohen Gadol to take the place of this Kohen Gadol that inexplicably simply disappeared in the middle of the day. And now, what does that Kohen Gadol do? So, if they were Minu Kohen Acher Tachtav, that Kohen cannot bring the other half. There is no other half. That's the point. A Korban of Chavitim always has to come from a full Korban Chavit. And he cannot bring the other Kohen's other half. It's got to be his own other half, which means that the other half of the first Kohen's Chavitim is going to have to go to waste, and the other half of the second Kohen's Chavitim is going to have to go to waste. You cannot concentrate when you're talking. And therefore, if the Kohen is appointed in his place, Minu Kohen Acher Tachtav, Lo Yavi Chatzi Yisaron Mi Beito. Don't think you can go and bring a half an Yisaron from your own home and start with a half an Yisaron, because it has to be Nachzita. And therefore, you can't do that. And you can't bring the other half of the first Kohen Gadol's Yisaron either, because this, as the Gemara is going to explain, is a korban that is specified by the Kohen that brings it. You're going to have to start all over again. You're going to have to bring an Yisaron Shalem, and you're going to have to split it the same way you would have done with the beginning. You bring half of it, and the other half is going to have to be lost, which means that bottom line is we're going to have two half Minchas Chavitims that are going to be burned, and they're all going to go to waste, because we've got the half, the second half, of the first Kohen's and the first halves of the second Kohen's, not that those are discernible, obviously. And therefore, nimzu shnei chatzaim krevim, u'shnei chatzaim avudim, and that's it. So, turn rabbona. Here's how we get this from the pasuk. Ilu nema mincha machtzit baboker, machtzit ba'erev. So then I would say, okay, you're supposed to bring a half a mincha in the morning and a half a mincha in the afternoon. So that's what I would think. Mevi chatzi yisaron mi beito shacharit, you do the whole jazz with it, and you bring another chatzi yisaron in the afternoon, and you do the same preparations, and so on. No. Therefore, the pasuk says machzita. That machzita means it has to exist as an entire entity in itself. Machzita means mechatza mishalemu makrit. You've got to bring only a half of what was whole. Okay, tzad. You've got to start off with an Yisaron Shalem in the morning. You split it into two, and then you're makriv mechza baboker u'mechza ben arbayim, which will mean that if something happened to the other half, let's say it became tummy, or it was lost, you think you could just go home and bring another chatzi Yisaron in the afternoon? No, it says half of it, and therefore it's got to be start all over again. If you don't have the whole thing, then you cannot bring a half. Okay, son, you'll start over again. You bring mechza, and the other half is going to be burned, and therefore in the end it's going to be shnei chatzaim krevim u'shnei chatzaim ovdim. In such a case, you're going to lose half and half. Now, how about a case where Kohen Gadol brought his half, and then he died? And then they brought another Kohen and made him the new Kohen Gadol. You think that he can bring a Chatzi Yisaron? Or you think he can bring the other guy's leftover Chatzi Yisaron? Ah, Talmud Lomar, Uma Chatzi Taba Erev. It's got to be that Mechza Mishalem has got to be, this, by the way, seems to be a raya, that there should be even a havamina like this, that it was not the other Kohen's personal korban. So even though it says Zeh Korban Aharon, if we wouldn't have had that extra U Machzita, which says that even if he is a new Kohen Gadol, he has to still bring the Mechza in the afternoon from the Shalem, which is his own. But we didn't say, well, what kind of crazy havamina is it? How can one person bring another person's korban? So obviously the Kohen Gadol is not bringing this korban as a personal korban. And you would think that he could simply take over. If it wouldn't be for that umachatzita, I would think, okay, it's a continuation. And the particular persona of the Kohen Gadol is not important. No, kamashlon umachatzita. You still have to bring mechza mishalem umakriv. So here too, what are you going to do? Okay, it's out. You're going to have to bring an isaron shalem, and then you're going to have to again split it. And we have again your makriv the chetzi, half of it is lost. And in this case too, in the death of the Kohen Gadol, we find that shnei chatzaim ovdim u'shnei chatzaim kirevim. But how exactly do we get rid of the parts that are ovdim? So there was a Tani Tana Kamei Reb Nachman was saying over the brisa, and he said, well, what you do with the two parts is the mechatza harishon and the mechatza hasheni, you have to wait until they become pasul belina, and then you can be motzi them to the Beit HaSrifah, but you don't burn them right away because nothing's wrong with them. It's not as if the carbon was nifsal, so you have to wait until it's nifsal because you can't stam burn karchim. Omele Reb Nachman, now hold on. I understand that the first one, since it was meant, the Kohen was alive at the time, it was meant to be brought, and therefore you'll have to wait until something happens to it. But the second Kohen Gadol, he knew right away that when he was appointed, he was going to have to throw out half of the mincha that he was going to be bringing as the chavitim, because he knew the halacha in advance. So why in the world do we need to wait until it becomes pasul belina, which is called ibur tzura? He was initially having in mind, when he set it aside, this is all that's going to be done with it, so why wait for ibur tzura? Sheni, lama le ibur tzura. After all, me'ikara le ibur ka'ati. He knew right off the bat, I'm going to have to bring only half of this, and I'm going to have to throw out the other half. Ah, I'll tell you why you said that. You must have been taught this bride to remember that the Tanoim, when it says Tani Tana Kamei, it doesn't mean he's a Tana. It means that he's a repeater of brises. So if that's the case, it must be that the guy who taught you this braita was from the Devei Rabba Bar Avuha. Because Rabba Bar Avuha holds that even pigel, which for sure is a pigam in the actual goof of the carbon, it still needs ibur tzura before you can burn it. So that he must say the same thing over here. It need ibur tzura before it's burned, but it's not true lahalacha. We don't need ibur tzura on pigel, and therefore your braita was taught to you shaloka halacha. Rav Ashi says, not so. This would be perfectly good, even according to the Rabbanan who argue with the Rabba Bar Avuha. Because in this case, There was no external definition of which part was going to be burned and which part was going to be brought. He brings the entire carbon, right? He brings the whole thing, Machtzisa Mishalem. So at that point, he could choose either the right hand or the left hand. I mean, there's no particular part that was meant to be brought to the Eshim and the other to the Eshim. So therefore, the whole thing is not true what you're saying. It was Michzah Chozo, because Iboy Haimakriv, Iboy Haimakriv. So either one of them is Roi initially, so it's not viewed as meant L'chatchila to be burned, because this piece wasn't meant to be burned. Itma. Chavitei Kohen Gadol. How exactly do we go about making these chavitim of a Kohen Gadol? Rabbi Chia Barava, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan. Well, you first have to do the afia, and afterwards you do the machavat part. Because otherwise, I mean, just think what it's going to look like. You know what I mean? You're going to bake pancakes? I mean, they're going to be all fried and discolored from the oil, and then you're going to bake them? Ravasi Omer Rebbe Chanina, no, actually, you do fry them, and then you bake them. Fine. There's a little bit of a problem, because Rashi's Girsa seems to be, or at least he assumes, that it's referring not to the relationship to the Tufini, but rather it's referring to the Murbechet. The Murbechet means the bageling. So you can't bagel up something that was fried. Yuck. I mean, that wouldn't be very nice. Okay, but in any event, the question over here is, what is the order either of the baking and the frying or the scalding and the frying? Om Rebbe Chia Barava, look, it's got to be what I said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, because the word tufine, what does tufine mean? Or did you say tufe, tufine? The way to understand that is, make it pretty, man. Teafena na'a. So bake it while it's good looking. Now, you're not going to take something that's fried. So that's the whole point. It's saying, and make sure it was baked before it was fried. Ravasi says, no, I think it's more mistaber to say, like I said, because tufine doesn't mean tefena na'a. It means teafena na. What's na mean? Al tochlenu na'u bashel mevushal b'mayim. What does na mean by the coin, the Korban Pesach? It means semi-done, not fully prepared. And therefore, when it says over here, bake it while it's semi-done, that means that you must have partially cooked it before. So apparently it was fried before. So it's like I'm saying. Actually, this is really a machlokas tanoim. Take a look at the Braita, how to read the word tufine. So the brightness is like this. Tufine means teafena na. You should bake it when it's half baked and half cooked. We say half baked in English, but in this case, it's half fried. Rebbe Omer, teafena na. Oh, no, make sure it looks pretty. Oh, so that's exactly the machlokas we were just talking about. Rebbe Yossi Omer, actually, teafena rabbah. You got to rebake it lots of different times because Rabbi Yossi holds both pirushim, na and na'a. So first bake it pretty, then fry it, then rebake it, then fry it. Okay, so that means that there are a lot of different stages that you have to do it. That's the way Rashi understands. There are other approaches. It's a very nice approach. Now, we know that the Mishnah later on that tells us the particular dinim of the Chavite Kohen Gadol in detail. So it says later, Chavite Kohen Gadol, Lishatam, Varichatam, Vafiatam, Befim, everything you do for them. You're going to knead them. You're going to be orech them, means you make them into a pretty braided shape. Their afia. Everything is done inside of the chotzer, a mishkan, or inside of the azara, and that would include all of its avedas, and all of its avedas are dochot et ha-shabbat. How do we know that we can only do it on Shabbat? Why can't we do it before? Omer Avuna, because it says tufini. And we said before, one of the idea of tufini is teafena na'a. You've got to bake it so that it looks good. I mean, if you're going to do this stuff yesterday on Erev Shabbos, it's not going to look good. It's not It's going to be like still already on Shabbos. And in Nashville, also it's going to overrise, and it's not going to be nice. So what are you supposed to do? The Torah said to make it na'ef. It says to make it na'ef. It means I have to do it on Shabbos. Maskev Rav Papa, maybe na'ef. Rav Yosef, maybe na'ef doesn't mean to make sure that it's done on Shabbos. Maybe it just means to refrigerate it. Therefore, you should be kovish lebiyarka, you know, cover it over in fresh vegetables to keep it moist and to keep it cool. And then make sure that you take good care of it to make sure that it's fresh. But that doesn't mean necessarily the only way to keep things fresh is to be mechal Shabbos. Therefore, we have another approach. We have the Tanit Ve'Rabbi Shmuel, the Ve'Rabbi Shmuel Tana, since it says in the Pasuk, it uses the word again for no reason. Amachavat b'shemen te'aseh. So what is that additional te'aseh? Te'aseh means see to it that it is made. Not that it's just there, but that it's made. That comes to tell me additionally, afilu b'shabbat, te'aseh. That comes to tell me this is a korban tzibur. And therefore, afilu b'tum'ah. And Abaye says, since it said in the pasuk of the Chavitim, Solet mincha tamid, it's comparing it to the tamid. Hareiki mincha tamidim, and as we know, that whatever you bring together with the tamid, you also bring on Shabbos, so the same way that the tamid and the minchas tamid is doicha Shabbos, so too the chavitim is doicha Shabbos.